What a great opportunity we have today to consider God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is perfect. It restores the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart and enlightens our eyes. Please help us today to follow your word, to know what you're saying to us, and to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of the early church, it's sometimes with a little naivety. We think because God did so much, the church must have been full of great spiritual giants. Acts 11 is the record of two men faced with extraordinary circumstances. The first is Peter. Ian will read the first part.
Hi, church family. So today I'm going to be reading to you from Acts 11, 1 to 18. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had been seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered that the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Peter had a bit of a reputation in the church. He was an extrovert, a leader, daring, outspoken, and sometimes a little impulsive. When he got back to Jerusalem, he had some explaining to do. The Christians in Jerusalem, who were all Jews, were quite put out. Peter had been sharing the good news with Gentiles, non-Jews. Perhaps like today, they would be referred to as ungodly infidels. And here was Peter sharing the good news with them. Even worse, they'd become Christians, been given the Holy Spirit, and Peter had actually baptized them in public, maybe in the sea. The news had got back to the Jews in Jerusalem, 50 miles away, and they were quite put out.
Verse 2. The Jews took issue with Peter. What was it that got to them? Telling them their secret good news? Baptizing them? No. What really upset them was in verse 3. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. What do you think you're doing, Peter? Haven't you seen the signs? Beware pork. In Acts 11, Peter is confronted. So how does he react? Not at all like the old impulsive Peter. Not at all like the old hot-headed Peter. Verse 4. Peter proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, starting at the beginning, perhaps a bit on the defensive, but without any histrionics. Peter lays it out. Not what he did, but what God had done. Verse 7. I heard a voice say to me. Verse 9. A voice from heaven. Verse 12. The Spirit told me. Verse 16. I remembered the words of the Lord. Verse 17. God gave them the same gift of the Holy Spirit. You will notice in this passage, no one's talking about food anymore. Well, some might think we're different. We're more enlightened today. We're not. People still get heated, jump to conclusions without knowing the facts.
How are we when we hear about someone doing something different? Something we don't approve of? Are we like these Christians? Do we get put out? Do we want to confront people? It's always better to get the facts rather than add to the clamour. That's what Peter did.
Philippians 2:14 tells us, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Jesus told us we need to be careful what we listen to. James 3, verse 5 tells us we do need to be careful about what we say. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it can set a great forest on fire. That's what James says. We want a church on fire, but not in that way. Peter just tells them what happened. What God had done. Now, the undeniable implication is this. Your argument's not with me. It's with God. God chose to do something very different. We might try to argue with what other people want or do, but when we're told what God has done, that's the end of it. Yes? How did the Jewish Christians respond to this? Verse 18. They quietened down and glorified God. John is going to read the last few verses of today's passage.
Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
Before we move on to the second man, Barnabas, the son of encouragement was his name, let's get a feel for how these illustrious church leaders in Jerusalem were moving forward after Peter's bombshell. Some Christians had to leave Jerusalem because of persecution. They were driven out. Look at this map. Verse 20 says, they went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. It was okay, though. They only shared the good news with other Jews. I heard about an elderly lady once. She prayed that Jesus would come into her life. The next day, her Christian daughter went round, and she asked her mum, "Have you told anybody else about becoming a Christian?" She said, "Don't worry, dear. I know how to keep a secret." It was a bit like that in Jerusalem in the first century. They kept it to themselves. But then the unimaginable happened. Verse 20. Some of the new Christians in Cyprus went to Antioch and told the good news to the Greeks. Verse 21. A large number believed and turned to the Lord. Some people just don't know how to keep a secret, do they? Barnabas was not of the same mind. When he met all the new Gentile believers, he rejoiced and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. What do we know about Barnabas that made him so used by God? As well as being an encourager, verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Peter said this of Jesus too in Acts 10:38. He said of Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good. You know, we all have opinions about what others should do. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, we don't force our opinions onto people. We go about doing good. Sometimes I catch myself thinking and want to tell everybody what's wrong with society. And then I hear a voice. What's important to God is not your opinion. It's your peace with God. Anyway, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's what we're told here. Twice we're told in this passage, Barnabas was influential in changing the lives of a considerable number of people. Verse 24. Considerable numbers were brought to the Lord.
You'd think that would have been a good reason for Barnabas to stay. Stay and help all the new Christians. Stay and see more become Christians. We like the numbers, don't we? The noise, the action, the big events. What did Barnabas do? Barnabas wasn't an upfront man. His gift was getting alongside people, sometimes forgotten and rejected people. Neither was he close-minded or prejudiced. He went to Tarsus to meet a new Christian and ex-Pharisee, someone who'd been instrumental in the murders of a number of Barnabas' friends. He was known by the Jewish name of Saul. You can imagine the various reactions to Barnabas going to meet Saul. Many would have questioned whether Barnabas should waste his time on this ex-Pharisee when he was having such a great ministry in Antioch.
I suppose Barnabas himself would have had misgivings, even fears. Would he be safe? Would it be the end of the ministry he'd been sent to do in Antioch? What right did he have to leave the new church and great evangelistic work with the many people in Antioch? The answer? Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Sometimes we just have to do what to others doesn't make sense. When? When the Holy Spirit tells us to. What if Barnabas had done what the crowd wanted? What if he'd listened to the voices that said, "Don't waste your time on Saul. It's just one of his devious tricks to round up and imprison the new Christians." Well, think. If Barnabas hadn't gone, it may be that we'd be without a third of the New Testament. Saul had another name, Paul. And he was eventually referred to as Paul the Apostle. If he hadn't gone, there might have been no churches in Rome, or Greece, or Cyprus, or Asia. No Timothy, Titus, or Epaphroditus. And so no church at Philippi, and so on. All because Barnabas was a man not full of celebrity or starry eyes, but a man led by the Holy Spirit and faith to step out of the crowd. So what is this message today? You may be surprised to hear my description of the early church. Perhaps you thought everyone was super spiritual. As always, the Bible is more honest than our imaginations. They were ordinary Christians like you and me. How did they react to unfamiliar situations? How did they respond to people who did unexpected things? It's a lesson for all of us in unexpected times. We've looked at the people of Israel entering the Promised Land over the last couple of months. You know why it took them 40 years to complete an 11-day journey? Numbers 14 makes it clear. A whole generation would fail to receive what God had for them because they grumbled and complained. The alternative to this is in both these men. Don't talk about others. Tell people what God has done. Don't be negative about people or circumstances. Like Barnabas, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit and faith. If we are, we won't be criticizing. We'll be edifying. That means building up. We can learn from Peter and Barnabas. Neither were perfect. They argued. They made mistakes, just like you and me. Isn't it great God uses ordinary people? They're referred to in the New Testament as cracked vessels, broken pots, jars of clay. That's us. Remember, that's what we are. So when God does a great work, everyone knows it's not us, but Jesus Christ who gets the credit. First century persecution was much worse than coronavirus for those Christians. But the people then were no different to how we are now. Like Peter, let's talk about what God has done. Like Barnabas, let's be a people who are full of the gentle but powerful Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that with all our problems, with all our mistakes, you love us and you even want us to be your ambassadors. Lord, not because we're great, but because you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.